passion. Let's go ahead a few verses in Isaiah 49 now, verses 1 to 6, till the second song of the servant of Yahweh. A little beautiful piece of poetry referring to this leader that they envisaged as going to be the new Moses to take them out of exile. You can think of Moses or you can think of Jesus, and that's what you're meant to do. Yahweh called me before I was born. From my mother's womb he pronounced my name. He made my mouth a sharp sword and hid me in the shadow of his hand. He said to me, "You are my servant, in whom I shall be glorified." I was thinking, "I've toiled in vain, I've exhausted myself for nothing." And all the while, my cause was with Yahweh, my reward with my God. And now Yahweh has spoken. He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, to gather Israel to him. It is not enough for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob. I will make you the light of the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. I won't delay on this because it's very like the first one. You can see how it's captured again. Here you see bringing Jacob back to him now. Not bringing Jacob to him, but bringing him back. This is back from exile. That's the historical setting. But it's more than that. Now it's that whole universal salvific will of God for the whole world. The Acts of the Apostles quotes this text, Christianity, taking the word from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. My salvation, the word Jesus, as I mentioned, Yeshua, means Yahweh salvation, Yahweh saves. The name pronounced in the womb, when Jesus was in the womb, in that Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And in the book of Revelations, a number of times Jesus is spoken of as his word is like a two-edged sword. Again, just picking up imagery from this poem. And perhaps most beautifully in John, again and again, speaks of Jesus, the one in whom God will be glorified when he's lifted up on the cross. Again, reminding you, glory. In fact, glory comes from exactly the same word that we looked at earlier, that word to delight, eudokeo, I delight in you, in that baptism. And doxa is what happens when you delight in something. You go, wow, and you praise and glory, you give some, because of a radiant thing that's there, and you delight in it, and the response is glory, praise. So God is going to be glorified. We're going to say, oh, wow, is God as good as all that when we see this servant? The third song, gradually taking us deeper into the spirituality of the time, comes from Isaiah chapter 50, the next chapter, verses 4 to 10. And I'll read it for you. The Lord Yahweh has given me a disciple's tongue, so that I may know how to reply to the wearied. He provides me with speech. For my part, I made no resistance, neither did I turn away. I offered my back to those who struck me, my cheeks to those who tore at my beard. I did not cover my face against insult or spittle. The Lord Yahweh comes to my help, so that I am untouched by the insults. So too I set my face like flint. I know I shall not be shamed. My vindicator is here at hand. Let anyone who fears Yahweh among you Listen to the voice of his servant. Whoever walks in darkness and has no light shining for him, let him trust in the name of Yahweh. Let him lean on his God. It's beautiful poetry, isn't it? There's a lot of lovely material right through this second Isaiah book. If you're looking for something good spiritual reading, you won't do better. Let him lean on his God. A text that reminds us, I presume in the original, because of the persecution they were suffering, perhaps even from their own co-religionists, as I mentioned earlier. Perhaps those who were going back, and they would have been old men and old women taking their families back. They'd be 70 if they were 20 at the time of exile. And they were probably laughed at and scoffed at and told they were foolish and to stay there and what right have they got to go back. And you can picture it all enough. And that's the imagery in Matthew 26 and 27 of Jesus and his passion. I don't have to remind you of that. Jesus, the one who spoke to the wearied, you who are overburdened, I will give you rest. We quoted it earlier. And that fantastic text at the beginning of Jesus' journey to Jerusalem in Luke 9:51, where it says, he set his face towards Jerusalem. I set my face like flint, determined to carry out his mission to the wearied, in spite of the punishment and the infliction and the human condition and what it bore down as it did on Moses, even more so on the suffering servant of the exile. And now Jesus, in the same line, as it were, the same imagery, bore all that in order to help those who are walking in darkness see the light, in order to help people lean, as he leant, on God.